The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hi, this is Kevin McCullough. Thanks for listening to the Christian Outlook podcast, where we cover today's issues from a perspective that honors your Christian faith. Our podcast is brought to you through a partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. Here's another piece I trust you'll enjoy.
That I wanted to bring to your attention, but I also wanted to talk about the benefits of reading your Bible, of studying your Bible. I have a couple of things that I want to say about that. You know, in Psalm 139:17, it says, "How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them." If you have ever asked the question, "I wonder what God thinks about this?" Well, your Bible is a treasure trove of what the Bible thinks on so many issues, on the issues that it covers. And that's why, again, if it's been a while since you've opened up your Bible, I just really want to encourage you to do that. You know, there's so many different things going on right now. And I do want to remind you that for those of you who have laid low throughout the pandemic and it's been a while since you went back to church, I just want to encourage you that maybe this weekend would be a good time to go back to church. There's lots of blessings from reading and studying the Bible. And so, again, for those of you who've prayed and you've said, "Hey, I'd like a little direction in my life. I'd like a little answer to prayer. I want to be strengthened in my faith. I want to be nourished to maturity. I want to resist temptation. I'm looking for instruction, conviction, correction, training in righteousness." Guess what? Open up to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, and all of a sudden you'll discover that the Bible will do all of those things. Psalm 119 verse 105. You're very familiar with the passage. "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." And so the Bible and Bible study guides us. So the way that I would think about it is there's a lot of people who are looking for direction. Billy Graham famously said, "Young people today are looking for direction." But it's one thing to get direction, and it's another thing to get the right direction. And so when the Bible says your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path, it's a metaphor. It gives you the ability to look ahead so that you can see where you need to go. And I'm going to suggest to you, through every season of your life, are you young? Open up your Bible. Are you mature? Open up your Bible. Are you in the winter of life? Open up your Bible. You know, you can be confident that God leads through his word. And of course, who can't forget John chapter 15, verse 7, where the Bible says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you." When God's word abides in you, you can pray according to his will and then have confidence in 1 John 5:14 that he hears you. This isn't just wishful thinking. Studying the Bible helps you understand and embrace what's God's heart for this issue, and what's the Lord's mind on this subject. And so, again, the Lord answers our prayers from a place of submission and embracing of what God has said on any given subject. So that's what happens when you study your Bible. You're strengthened in your faith. In Romans 10:17, I'm sure you're familiar with the passage. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of God or the word of Christ. So being exposed to God's word fans the flame. You'll know what to believe, what to base your faith on. There's going to be a deepening of your understanding of who God is and what God wants. And in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, it says, but he answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Apparently, God's word provides sustenance, nourishment. You know, every time I do this program, I'm thinking you're driving, you're going from one place to the next. You're trying to determine, what am I going to listen to? What's going to provide the most benefit for me spiritually? And so, again, I appreciate the fact that you come here because you want to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the truth. Obviously, so much of our life is surrounded with food and pleasure. You know, the Bible makes it abundantly clear that for some people, their belly is their God. What they're thinking about is, what am I going to eat? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not suggesting that it's wrong to think, hey, what should we have for dinner? Or, hey, what should I make for breakfast? Or, hey, Thanksgiving's coming up, and what should we make for Thanksgiving? We have to eat. We understand that. But life is more than what we eat. Life is more than what just simply gives us pleasure. You know, does it give you pleasure to watch the Broncos or you know, the Rockies play, or fill in the blank? The scriptures become your lifeline to a relationship with the Lord. And so when Jesus says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God, Jesus isn't suggesting that it's wrong to eat bread or that bread isn't a necessary component of life. Obviously, Jesus says this before gluten intolerances. But what he's pointing out is that just like your body needs the appropriate nourishment to survive, God's word nourishes you, so that you can become spiritually mature as you respond to life's challenges and temptations. In Psalm 119, verse 11, the psalmist said, I've stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Apparently, having a storage of God's word, I'm going to even use the word supply. Having a supply of God's word inside of your heart is going to help you. I've stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. By storing it up, it means you have access to it. You can pick it up and use it. You can go into the pantry of your heart because of the Bible, because you've learned God's word, maybe even memorized God's word, studied God's word, and it gives you the ability to say no to lesser things, to sin. As more of the scripture is stored up in your heart, you're going to be strengthened in the core of your being. One of my favorite passages of scripture is, all scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So the Bible, according to Paul, is literally the words of God. So when he says all scripture is breathed out by God, it's one way of saying that it has a supernatural source, and God is that source, and that God himself has provided information that's profitable for teaching, instruction, conviction, correction, training, not just so that you are the Bible answer man or so that people can call and say, hey, what does this mean? But it's so that you will have the necessary tools to help people. You know, you can be instructed with teaching from God for wisdom, for truth, for the things that you need to live your life in such a way that you can honor and please God. The Bible not only gives us truth to believe, but instruction on how to live. And that's part of the point. It isn't just simply truth to believe. It's instructions on, well, now what am I going to do? So no matter what your background, no matter what your experience is, you can receive God's instructions directly from him as you study the Bible. You know, my friend Skip Heitzig has written a wonderful book about how to study your Bible. And so there are a number of different resources that are available that I would just encourage you to take advantage of, including we have an article at Got Questions, Your Questions, Biblical Answers. What are some different methods of Bible study? And the answer talks about book studies and topical studies, but then it gives a recommended resource. And like I said, my friend Skip Heitzig has written a book called How to Study Your Bible. But also there's a couple more, including Living by the Book, The Art and Science of Reading the Bible, revised and updated by Howard and William Hendricks. And so that book is, dare I use the term, a treasure trove. It is a treasure trove of information. So there's lots and lots of treasure troves of information, especially if you're interested in knowing more about your Bible. And of course, he mentioned inductive Bible study. And of course, people ask about deductive Bible study. They ask about where is a good place to start reading in the Bible. And of course, there's no perfect answer. Most people don't read the Bible beginning in Genesis and then go all the way to the book of Revelation. The book is really a library. It's a collection of books written by different authors in several languages over a 1,500-year period. Martin Luther said that the Bible is the cradle of Christ because all biblical history and prophecy ultimately points to Jesus. And therefore, any first reading of the Bible should probably begin with the Gospels. And a lot of different Gospels lend themselves to being the first one to read. You know, when I got saved as a brand new believer, I was instructed to read the Gospel of John. The Gospel of Matthew is quick and easy. It shouldn't take more than 45 minutes to read the Gospel of Mark. For many of you, it might be a good idea to go ahead and turn your radio off and go read your Bible. From the time that you start till the time that this program is over with, you could have read the Gospel of Mark. But again, there's lots of reasons to commend the Gospel of John because it's a book about Jesus. And if you want to know more about Jesus and what it means to know and love and be in a relationship with Jesus, the Gospel of John focuses on what Jesus has to say about himself. And John's are some of the clearest and simplest passages. But for me, the Gospel of John is very much like a swimming pool. Imagine you're in the 3-foot end and there's a 15-foot end. You can be as shallow or as deep as you want to go. But guess what? If you stay in the Gospel of John, I don't care how smart you are, how wise you are, how knowledgeable you are about the Bible, the Gospel of John is so rich and profound that the smartest people who have ever lived have yet to exhaust, explored the depths of that gospel. So again, reading the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, it's going to familiarize yourself with the life and the ministry of Jesus. After that, you could read some epistles like Ephesians. Now, what Ephesians has to commend itself is it's a book about belief and behavior. It's short. The first chapters, first three chapters, belief. Last chapters, behavior. Philippians, and of course, my favorite, 1 John, which again helps you understand about friendship and fellowship with God and marks of the genuine believer. So what's great about Ephesians and Philippians and 1 John, it teaches us how to live our lives in a way that's honoring and pleasing to God. And of course, if you start reading in the Old Testament, read the book of Genesis, especially the first 11 chapters, because it's going to set the stage of why the world is the way that it is. There's lots of reasons to begin in Genesis, at least the first 11 chapters, so that, again, the world that you're living in makes sense. How did we get here? Why is there something rather than nothing? How did human beings wind up in rebellion and sin? And why are we so in desperate need of a Savior? So again, when you start reading the Old Testament, read the book of Genesis. It tells how God created the world, how we fell into sin, and how all of that impacted the planet on which you're living. And of course, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, they're a little bit difficult. Because when you start reading it, you get into the laws that God required of the Jews to live by. And I'm not saying don't read those books. What I am saying is that you're going to better understand those books as you grow in grace and in the knowledge of the truth. And of course, there's a reason why the book of Revelation is always or is at the end of your Bible, because it presupposes that you have at least a modest understanding of the first 65 books. And if you don't have a modest understanding of the first 65 books, the last book might seem almost impossible to understand. But I'm not trying to discourage you from reading. What I'm trying to encourage you to do is to read in a way where it becomes easier and easier for you to understand what it is that you're reading. You can read Joshua through Chronicles to get a good history of Israel. You can read the book of Psalms through the Song of Solomon, and it's going to give you an understanding for Hebrew poetry and wisdom. I had Ben Carson on this program, and he made it his lifelong pursuit to read a proverb from the book of Proverbs every day. It just so happens that there's 31 chapters. So if it happens to be November 5th and you go, hey, I'm going to open up my Bible and I'm going to read Proverbs 5. Well, if you're stuck about what to read, just look at your calendar and say, what is today's date? And by the way, if you wind up reading Proverbs chapter 1 through 31 over and over and over again, It's not going to be harmful. At best, it's going to be helpful. And of course, the prophetic books, Isaiah through Malachi, or as my Italian speaking friends say, Malachi. Isaiah can be very difficult. It's 66 chapters. Jeremiah is only 52 chapters, but it's longer than the book of Isaiah. But guess what? The book of Isaiah and the book of Psalms are the most quoted books in your New Testament. And, of course, the purpose of Bible study, in part, is to connect the reader, not just simply with the Lord, but instruction, conviction, correction, training, so that you'll do what you need to do. That's what it means when it says equipped for every good work. And then, of course, when we talk about conviction, studying the Bible gives you a strong conviction about what is real, what is true, and what's God's will for your life. If you've ever prayed a prayer like, Lord, I just want to know what you want for me and from me and what you want me to do, who you want me to be. God's word builds you up in your faith so that you can stand up against the storms that inevitably will come. And correction. God loves us enough to correct us and discipline us. And so that means to keep you on track. And see, there's a big difference between punishment and discipline. Punishment is often the consequences of for wrongs that we've done, but discipline is in order to correct our behavior. In Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24, it says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Conviction, correction, training in righteousness. So when we talk about training in righteousness, the Bible trains you in what way? To fulfill God's plan in your life. So when we ask and we answer the question, just like an athlete trains in order to play a position, whether it's football or baseball or whatever, the Bible trains us for the position that God is calling us to. And again, we're all called to different positions, if you will, in life, but we all can have a real relationship and fellowship with God. And so equipping for every good work means that the Bible will equip you so that you can fulfill the assignments that God has for you, whether it's your family, whether it's your ministry, whether it's your career. So studying the Bible equips you to move in God's wisdom and God's love, God's power. There's going to always be needs in the world. And the Lord, by his word, equips you to make an impact. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart." The Bible provides clarity, helps you think carefully, and then examine your own motives. The Word of God cuts through the distraction and the cloudiness in thinking and sometimes the emotions so that we can know God and understand for ourselves what it is that he's trying to say. Sometimes we don't know what's motivating us in the deepest part of our heart. You know, the Bible basically talks about that sometimes it's difficult to discern our own motives of why we're doing what we're doing. And the Word of God isn't just a bunch of ideas and thoughts in a book. Like I said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, it's God-breathed. It's God-inspired. And so according to the writer of Hebrews, it is living and active. And that metaphor of the two-edged sword, a Roman sword could cut, it could slice and dice, so to speak. And this is one of the genius methods that the Romans used in order to conquer their enemies. And this is one of the genius realities behind the Bible. It helps you think carefully about everything. It's living and active. And it's activated in your life. Not just simply when you look at it or read it or reflect on it or consider it. But then you go through what I just talked about, the observation, the interpretation, and then the application. And of course, if the Bible helps you in righteousness and it equips you for every good work and it helps clarify your thinking, it also gives you freedom. In John 8:31, Jesus said to the Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you're truly my disciples, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free." You've probably heard that verse. If you abide in my word, and you're truly my disciples, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You see, you have an enemy, Satan. You have another enemy, this world in which we live. You have another enemy, your own flesh. But Satan, the accuser, will come against you with lies and half-truths. It's always been Satan's desire to make you ignorant of God's will or impatient with God's word or will. And so if Satan can't make you ignorant of God's word or impatient with God's will, he's going to work on you to try to deceive you. But according to Jesus, when you abide in God's word, when you read it, you study it, you live it, you're going to receive the truth. And that truth is going to help you deal with the distractions that come your way. You're going to be free to follow Jesus and follow God's plan for your life.
Thanks for listening to Christian Outlook. Our program is coming to you today in partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. It's America's most unique graduate leadership programs offered on Pepperdine's breathtaking campus in Malibu, California. Learn more at publicpolicy.pepperdine.edu. If you enjoy our podcast, take a moment and tell a friend to subscribe today.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.